What's going on, Cubs fans? This is the Locked On Cubs podcast, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. On episode 148, we're going to talk about the Cubs hiring a new hitting coach, Anthony Iaposi. I hope I'm saying that right. Chili Davis, of course, was let go last week. Iaposi will be stepping in to fill that role. We're going to take a look into what Iaposi's history has been with the Cubs, a former minor league hitting coach for them a couple of years ago, and kind of what his role is going to be with the Cubs. Of course, as the hitting coach, but what he brings to this Cubs offense. Of course, Chili Davis let go earlier this week. He made comments Tuesday talking about kind of his time with the Cubs and how he felt there was a disconnect between him and some of the Cubs hitters. Specifically names millennials. A little weird. We'll kind of go into the details about that, and then we'll wrap up the show kind of going over what's going on with Brandon Hyde. Jason McLeod has some interest here. Grandpa Rossi's got some manager interest here. We're going to kind of go over that, and then finally, there is somewhat of a Sonny Gray rumor, and for anyone that was a Cubs fan from 2015 until about last season, you could literally throw a rock anywhere into the internet and you'd probably find a Cubs rumor with Sonny Gray or Chris Archer attached to it. So we're going to talk about all those things today. We're happy to be back here. Of course, I am your host, Sean Sears. I am the main host here for your Locked On Cubs content going forward through the offseason and on to the 2019 season. Ryan Davis, who originally started this podcast, was working with Locked On Network. He will no longer be doing this podcast on a consistent basis. Ryan's still a great guy. We'll probably be on the show more often than anyone else when it comes to guests, but we're going to try and bring on a bunch of people on the show. So I'm excited about that. But a little about myself. I'm a writer for NBC Sports Chicago. I also do a little bit of stuff for Fansided here and there, not as much as I used to. And then I also host the 312 podcast live every Saturday here in Chicago, Evanston on 1590 WCGO every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. So I do that with fellow Lockdown Lockdown Bulls host Matt Peck, who just awesomely just got a TV show at NBC Sports. So we're co-workers on like three different levels. It's awesome. We're also neighbors. I'm very excited. If you're not checking out the Bulls podcast, you need to do so. Season kicked off Tuesday night, but I'm recording this Tuesday night, so I have no idea what happened in that Bulls game. So probably a loss, but let's hope for not. But let's dive into the Cubs content here a little bit. Of course, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Chili Davis, no longer with the Cubs, got let go last week as the Cubs hitting coach. Anthony Iaposi is the new hitting coach for the Cubs. Iaposi spent time with the Cubs back from 2013 to 2015 as the Cubs minor league hitting coach. And the biggest reason the Cubs are deciding to go with Iaposi as opposed to Davis right now is simply because it sounds like Iaposi's relationship with the Cubs minor leaguers at that time from 2013 to 15, you know, that would be Ian Happ, Kyle Schwarber, Chris Bryant, Albert Almora. You name them, they're on the Cubs roster right now. He has a great rapport with these guys, and they feel like his role on top of him bringing kind of a similar approach that John Mailey had, the Cubs' former hitting coach prior to Davis, kind of helps better suit what this roster is currently constructed as. For those who don't know the different approaches, they've been talked about nonstop, but basically Chili Davis was more of a situational hitter, wanting to go the other way, trying to not necessarily scorch the ball, but make good contact with it and try and hit against the shift and be situational. Be smart and know that, you know, sometimes a ground ball to the right side can get you a run. Basically, his thought process behind it was instead of trying to drive the ball, hit the ball, place the ball. Be smart with where your approach is going with each pitch. Know where you're at and, you know, take advantage of the mistakes. But, you know, the biggest thing really was is finding holes in the defense and shooting a ball through there and seeing what you could do. I was kind of on board for a hitting style like that because we'd seen the last couple of years the Cubs offense just annihilated pitching through the regular season and then in the postseason kind of going cold and it felt like their contact bats weren't really there. We saw this year the Cubs try to be more of a contact situational hitting team. They led the league in hits. They also led the league, I believe, in plate appearances, but they just had a terrible OPS, an OPS plus of 95, not very good. It's still good enough for a top 10 in the team, but or in the league. But when you see the differentials between, like, you know, who the top five teams are in baseball compared to where the Cubs are at, it's not going to cut it. You look at the rest of this roster; they don't necessarily hit for contact super well. They did this year to an extent. We saw guys like Jason Hayward have easily the most productive season he's had as a Cub. But at the end of the day, we're talking about a guy that was, you know, a negative 0.1 war to, you know, a 2 war player. That's at a replacement level player. Like, that's not it's not like a massive difference here. We're talking about Jason Hayward. You know, of course, this is a guy that fell off the face of the earth, essentially going from a 6-WAR player, looking like the Cubs were going to have potentially 3 or 4 6-WAR players, and Bryant, Rizzo, and potentially Contreras along with Hayward. That clearly did not happen. But it just felt like things weren't connecting. We're going to kind of dive into what Davis said today to the Sun-Times a little bit later in the second segment. But Iaposi, he's got the relationship, he's got the familiarity, and that's what everyone keeps driving home, that he has the ability to communicate and work with these guys and has shown through his time in the minor leagues that he clearly understands how to get his message across to these guys. And Davis just couldn't do it, it seems like. There was a true disconnect in this locker room. Basically, the simple approach behind it, and this is kind of something I stole from a Reddit comment as I was looking up stuff for the show today. Someone put a very kind of well-thought-out idea where basically he was saying, you know, the people that are complaining, that were complaining about, you know, the Cubs and their small ball approach this year, the same people are going to complain about the Cubs not playing enough small ball next year when they lead the league in home runs again, likely. You know, it's not like these two are correlated or whatnot. One doesn't mean the other. But he kind of summed it up by saying, the fact of the matter is, strategically, you always have to, you would much rather have a double than a single, a triple than a double, a home run over a triple. And of course, the more bases you can get with one hit, you know, the efficiency-wise and everything about it, that's clearly what you want every time. Can't anticipate it, but I thought Bruce Levine said something very interesting on the radio. I believe it was Monday or maybe it was Tuesday morning. I can't remember quite. But he basically said, what he was talking about is when you have guys like Ian Happ and Kyle Schwarber, and even Javier Baez to an extent, those guys strike out a lot. They don't have a lot of productive at-bats sometimes. It's pretty much boom or bust. And when you're taking the way that they want to come across the plate, which is, you know, launch angle, crushing the ball, getting underneath it and driving it, and forcing them to kind of be these guys that are more so line drive, finding the gap type of guys, they just aren't comfortable, it felt like. It didn't seem like their approach was the way they wanted to go and attack a ball. They weren't necessarily attacking pitches like we'd seen. And there were other times where, like, it seemed like they were too aggressive. And they it was like they ignored everything Chili Davis was saying, and they were just going to go and swing the crap out of the bat. And, you know, who knows if that's Chili Davis? Who knows if that's Kyle Schwarber deciding on a 2-0 fastball, he's just going to try and annihilate a pitch? Or, you know, who knows if that's Ian Happ deciding that no matter what this pitch is, I'm going to swing at it and missing a slider. Like, you never know. There's no way to quantify the type of, you know, what exactly the impact is for a hitting coach. But with the way the Cubs' current roster is constructed, you're much better off allowing those guys to try and crush the baseball and deal with the high strikeouts. You'd much rather see these guys hit their 25, 30 home runs, get close to 100 RBIs, and, you know, deal with the probably triple digit strikeouts that could be coming along with a guy like Ian Happ or Kyle Schwarber or Javier Baez, whoever it may be. This team strikes out, but they've always made up for it for the massive amount of power they hit. They ended the season, I believe it was 167 home runs. Compared to the Cubs hitting, I believe it was 223 home runs yesterday. I'm pulling a baseball reference now. Yep. Now, 233 home runs last year. About a 40-50 difference. You look at how many Cubs had double digits home runs last year. It was 9 guys. Two of them had 30, being Rizzo and Schwarber. Bryant just outside at 29. You had Happ, Baez, and Contreras hitting 20-plus home runs. Zobrist, Russell, Hayward round that out. You look at the 2018 Cubs, clearly Javier Baez, 34 home runs. Kyle Schwarber, 26 home runs. Anthony Rizzo, 25 home runs, and then a massive drop. Ian Happ, Chris Bryant, Wilson Contreras, 15, 13, 10. And then the next one closest is Ben Zobrist with 9. And the rest of this team just did not have pop. They just didn't drive the ball. And we saw throughout this season, particularly at the end of September, when they were OPSing like 670, something like that for September, they just didn't have anything. They had no power, had no approach, were not walking, were grinding extremely hard. You know, we know they played something like 40-plus games over their last month and, you know, however many odd games. We know they played the 30 consecutive games in a row. This team was just lost. On top of it, we're going across with this approach hitting wise it just didn't make sense for a lot of their pitchers, a lot of their hitters. I like the idea of implementing something like that. I thought it was a good idea because when you look at the postseason, you're not, I mean, outside of the World Series, you're not expecting to hit 10 home runs in a series. And you don't want to necessarily be entirely dependent on the baseball, driving the baseball out of the park. But you also look at the approach the Cubs had last year, or this current season, this 2018 season. It's just not going to cut it. And you look at the rest of these guys. I mean, you're going to tell me that you're going to turn Ian Happ into a situational contact hitter? You're going to tell Kyle Schwarber to go the other way on a pitch on the inside? No, you have to let these guys be their guy, be who they are. And maybe that's what Davis was talking about, where the Cubs were kind of pushing back because they'd seen themselves be successful. They'd seen themselves win the World Series with this approach. Who knows what exactly it is. But Anthony Aponte, the idea behind him essentially is they think he's going to be able to speak to these guys in a way that gets across to them and helps them basically maybe not necessarily get back to where they were in 2017 and 2016 when they were driving the ball, but at least have the approach that makes them comfortable. So who knows if it makes a difference? Who knows if this is really the fix for the Cubs offense? Realistically, it's probably a healthy Chris Bryant. It's likely a Anthony Rizzo that's hitting the entire season. It's likely a Wilson Contreras that gets back to being the guy we thought he was. And, you know, maybe Javier Baez has another season like he did this year. You know, that's probably what the real fix is. The Cubs have to play to their potential. Theo Epstein talked about it a bunch in his end-of-season post-game or post-season press conference, I guess post-game or post, you know, whatever you want to call it, his end-of-season presser. It was talking about how you have to evaluate more so the production than you do the talent. When you look at the Cubs, clearly they have one of the most talented rosters in baseball. But that's all based off of potential. These guys have the potential to do this. They have the potential to be these elite players. And I think we all kind of assumed after 2016 and how well we saw this team come together, we were looking at a team full of all-stars. And that very well could be the case from season on, but, you know, it's unrealistic to think that all these guys are just going to pan out and be superstars. So we're starting to see more and more that the production from a guy like, you know, let's say Addison Russell didn't have a whole lot of off-the-field issues going on right now. Even if, you know, he was a squeaky clean, nice person that he expected. We all thought he was when he was talking about Pokemon cards and Baseball Tonight a year and a half ago. you look at the production on the offensive field, or on the field itself, it's not there. You would probably be considering whether or not you were really going to keep him and pay him the money he's likely going to, he would get if he stuck with the Cubs in arbitration had he had a successful season, but he hasn't. You look at guys like, you know, Wilson Contreras isn't going anywhere, but you have to wonder, you know, are we going to be able to expect Wilson Contreras to be close to a 5-WAR player that he was in 2017? No? Okay, well then, you know, maybe we don't necessarily have to spend as much money as we were expecting to on him, you know, whatever it is. There's a ton of evaluations going on right now. It doesn't sound like there's any changing coaching-wise for that, but, you know, once the winter meetings pick up, once the offseason really starts to get going, because clearly there's still baseball going on, we're going to see some of these evaluations coming across, and we're going to kind of see this roster change probably a little bit. So I threw out a question on Twitter yesterday, kind of asking who was everyone's sleeper pick. I'm going to kind of dive into that later this week or potentially next week, depending on the responses I have back. But if you guys have an idea of someone that you think you could plug into this Cubs roster, whether pitcher, hitter, whatever it may be, that makes a ton of sense, I'd love to hear it. Because I think that's where we're going to have to look at if the Cubs truly go and get someone like Harper and or Machado, with how much money is just going to be invested in those guys. Bargain deals across the board are what you're going to be looking at for the rest of this team. So, but when it's all said and done, hitting coach, I can't imagine makes that much of an impact. But when you feel like you can't have a conversation with this guy that's supposed to be helping you get better at your job and you feel like he's not, there's clearly frustration there. On top of the team just not doing well, there's always going to be the cop-out of, you know, the hitting coach is the reason that they didn't do well, even though we can never quantify what they're doing. It comes down to the players. The players have to execute. And what we saw in 2018 compared to what we've seen the last 3 years prior clearly isn't going to cut it. So let's roll the second segment. We'll talk a little bit more about Chili Davis, the comments he made to Gord Whitmire on the Sun-Times, and kind of what they mean for the Cubs as a whole. So Chili Davis, former hitting coach of the Cubs as of 4 days ago, spoke to Gordon Whitmire from Sun-Times talking about what his experience was in the year he spent with the Cubs. I've got a couple quotes here, but kind of the gist of what he was talking about is he felt like he just couldn't do his job to the way he wanted to. He felt like he connected with certain players, but then there were other players he felt like he couldn't get his message across to. it seems like it's all everyone talks about when they're talking about Anthony Oposi, as opposed to, you know, Davis and Iposi's ability to communicate with these guys. The big thing for Iposi, he's got relationships made already. He knows these guys. He's going to be able to work with them, and hopefully they're going to be able to find a working relationship as opposed to just a communication level being there. It just, Davis felt like he couldn't do that. Said to Whitmire, I learned a lot this year. I learned that the next situation I get in, before I say yes to a job, I need to make sure I know the personnel I'll be dealing with in the clubhouse, which seems like a no-brainer. You would feel like you'd want to talk to. I mean, I get you can't round up a 30-man clubhouse and be like, hey, do you think this guy could be fun to work with next year? I understand that, but kind of a no-brainer. I hope the next guy connects better with the players because I felt there were multiple players there that I didn't connect with. It wasn't that I didn't try. It just wasn't there. A little weird. Hopefully he has better success at it than I do, Davis said in regards to Iposi. But regardless of who is there, certain players are going to have to make some adjustments because the game's changed and pitchers are pitching them differently. They're not pitching to launch angles and fly balls and all that anymore. They're pitching away from that. They're going to have to make adjustments whether I am there or not. Now, that was kind of a little, kind of a little bit of shade, but valid. Jeff Sullivan was on 670 The Score earlier this week, and he kind of talked about similar things as well. And what he was kind of implying was that, you know, pitchers aren't throwing the way they used to before. You know, a lot of people, the reason they changed to go to launch angle is because a lot of pitchers were throwing a lot of high balls with high spin rate. You could get on top of that ball and suddenly, you know, what looks like a pop-up is getting into the, you know, second rows of the bleachers because of how much of a ridiculous launch angle you've gotten on top of how much drive and power you have in your swing. Pitchers are recognizing that now and trying to go the different way. They're trying to avoid it and make it difficult for these high launch angle guys to get on top of a ball. Instead, just smack it on the ground. Miss the ball. Give them something with more tilt, more swerve going across the plate instead of going up or down or just being hard to get your bat on top of. It's just different ways of hitting. And Davis is correct. The Cubs aren't going to be able to sit there and expect to drive balls like Ian Happ did. How many of Ian Happ's home runs that we see in 2017 that just looked like he just happened to just kind of get a good amount of the bat head on it and kind of just drift it out. I can't think of too many home runs where Ian Happ just clobbered and I'm like, oh, that's gone. You know, clearly the first pitch of 2018, that was no doubter. but, you know, clearly not everything was like that. And it just kind of felt like he kind of had like a smooth kind of arcing swing, and people are realizing that, realize there's holes in the top of those swings for those high launch angle guys, especially when you go something high velocity up top with a ton of spin. It's just going to be impossible to hit that ball in the direction you want to and drive it out of the park in any way other than, you know, backwards. So people are approaching these guys differently. And so the Cubs will have to make adjustments. The thing is, you have to communicate that message to people. And it just felt like Davis wasn't getting across to these guys. Who knows what that means? You know, being someone that's been in the locker room a couple times and in the press box, and you know, you don't get access to these pitching coaches, these hitting coaches. You know, they're out there doing their job. They're working with these guys. They're getting extra reps in. They're working on video. They don't have time to sit there and talk to the media. And honestly, with what their job is, for the most part, it's just getting these guys feeling confident enough to execute what they need to do. And, you know, maybe approaches are different and how you want to go about attacking a baseball on the offensive end can be different from coach to coach. But I feel like the biggest thing is whether or not you feel like this guy that's hired to be doing this particular thing is helping you in that moment. From a player's perspective, this is, you know, does that player feel like this guy right here is going to help him be successful at his job? And if they don't understand what the hell he's talking about, clearly that's not going to be a great working relationship. And that's kind of what it just seems like this all boils down to, is it just seems like Iposi has, I've said his name four different ways, I apologize. Iposi, I believe, is the correct pronouncing. Iposi just seems to have that relationship. Davis couldn't cultivate it. He had a relationship with certain people. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Jason Hayward, because the month of July, he was the entire reason that offense worked. Who knows? this, you know, when it's all cut and dry, Davis out, Iposi's in. He's got a relationship. He's going to be able to communicate with these guys. They're hoping that that allows the Cubs to feel confident enough to go at it offensively and do the things they normally do. Beyond that, you know, not much. I mean, Davis didn't go. Tony Andrecki put it a great way for NBC today. He didn't go full scorched earth. He didn't go and just, you know, say, well, screw the Cubs. He kept it professional, and you have to kind of tip your hat to that, because I'm sure there's plenty of things that he'd love to say that he feels like is frustrating. But when it comes down to this, this isn't Davis's fault. And this isn't going to be Iposi's job to fix and clean up. It's going to be billed as that by the media and people like myself who have to write stories on a deadline. But that's not what's going to come down to. It's going to come down to the Cubs executing and doing the things they need to do to be successful, because they didn't do that. They did it for a half a season. Kind of. It just didn't happen offensively. So, who knows? Offensively, this is going to look like a different club, I think. Not necessarily like Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo's, Ben Zobrist is gone, but I think we're going to see some changes. Everyone, of course, assumes that means Bryce Harper and Manny Machado or whoever. Even if they don't get those, the Cubs are going to add something to this roster. They were talking about an edge. They were missing their edge. I know Sahadev Sharma from The Athletic wrote an article about that and kind of referenced when John Lackey was brought to the club, bringing that edge, that grit, that toughness to a team. It felt like they didn't have that. But his kind of big takeaway is it just felt like the Cubs were, you know, kind of like, oh, well, we dropped this game. We still got plenty of time to make up for it. And you didn't, because you had one game. You needed one more game to really pull this out. They didn't do it. So more things to talk about this offseason. I'll have plenty of offseason profiles. We're going to go through position by position and kind of evaluate players and go from there. So, but let's roll to the third and final segment here today. We'll kind of talk about a few little tidbit things we want to kind of wrap up with the show and then, you know, go from there. So the Cubs staff, as it stands right now, it's tough to kind of figure out what, you know, who's going where right now. Brandon Hyde apparently has three offers from three different teams, looking to potentially hire him as a coach. That's interesting. Jason McLeod is a candidate for the Giants open GM position, as well as a couple other positions. So the Cubs could be having some turnover in the front office, as well as their coaching staff. And former Cub and everyone's favorite backup catcher, Grandpa Rossi, David Ross, is apparently generating interest a good amount from the Twins as a managerial candidate. That's interesting. I've had a couple people mention things to me, like how they think if Joe Maddon left, they'd love to hire Grandpa Rossi. Well, I don't know about that. But there's definitely a generating interest there. Something I kind of want to talk a little bit more is Sonny Gray, the pipe dream. It somewhat still exists, and I'm very much here for it. There isn't necessarily rumors directly connecting the Cubs and Sonny Gray. There was an article wrote back in July when Tyler Chatwood and Sonny Gray were at the peak of really struggling for both the Cubs and the Yankees, and how it was, you know, an interesting idea to just do a straight swap for each and see if the change of scenery helps them. But beyond that, there really hasn't been anything that's really concrete linking them. It just sounds like the Yankees are pretty much going to try and move on from him. Cashman made comments essentially saying something along the lines of like, well, you know, whoever trades for him or gets Sonny Gray, hopefully he figures it out for them. But, you know, they're going to be looking into relocating Sonny Gray. And those are true words. Like, he said literally that, which is weird. Don't really know what to do with that. But he's going to get traded. Who knows to where and why? And, you know, I can't imagine the Cubs are really going to be in a position where they definitely want to acquire Sonny Gray, but it doesn't sound like the asking price is going to be much. So maybe that drives up the initial market. Who knows? But Sonny Gray to the Cubs could still happen. Do we want it to happen? Most people probably don't. I have a soft spot for Sonny Gray. I'd love to see him. So. And then the Arizona Fall League team was announced for the Cubs, which, of course, is the Mesa Solar Sox. It comprises the Cubs, Red Sox, Athletics, Tigers, and Angels. Out of the roster, I believe the Cubs are sending 9 players, 5 position players, 4 hitters. Out of those hitters, Nico Horner, who was the Cubs' number one pick in 2018, of course, was, I think, shut down for the season with I think it was an elbow injury or something like that. I'm trying to remember. I luckily enough actually got to talk to him. One of the games I was covering for NBC this year, he just happened to be at Wrigley after he went to go see a doctor in Chicago. Decided to swing by the game. So Nico Horner will be on the game. Trent Giambroni will be on the team. DJ Wilson, one of my favorite Cubs prospects, he will be on this team. He played for Mesa in two games. I think he's played in two games so far. I think he's 1-for-9 with a ribby or something like that. PJ Higgins and Johnny Pareda. And then the Cubs pitchers, Justin Steele, an interesting lefty that has some potential. Eric Leal, Manuel Rodon, and Bailey Clark to round out that. I believe Joe Smith is actually going to be on this roster as well, who's a former Cub and kind of bounced around a little bit. And then I think Jesus Castillo is apparently, was at one point a Cub. I'm pulling this from Bleed Cubby Blue here. Josh Timbers does a really good job with the minor league wrap up there for the Cubs, for SB Nation, for their Bleed Cubby Blue site. But that's the Fall League lineup, so that'll be interesting, guys, to check out. I love DJ Wilson. Of course, it'll be nice to see Nico Horner get some more bats. Nothing more than really just interesting to see some of these guys go. But that's about it here for the most part. We'll have to see. Jason McLeod has turned down quite a few job offers in the past. At least two come to mind right now. He's from San Diego, though. Would probably like to go to California. The Giants job is apparently a job that a lot of guys would be interested in. But the Giants are surprised because they've had a lot of people already tell them no. Who knows? McLeod seems like a candidate. I'm surprised he's still with the Cubs. Same for Jed Hoyer. You would think they must really love working with Theo and what the Cubs have going on. Great news for the Cubs, but you got to assume at some point some of these guys got to jump ship. So I wouldn't be surprised if McLeod decides to go with that Giants offer because that seems like a really good fit. He's from California. The Giants definitely need an overhaul. He would 100% be a candidate to be able to go through and rebuild and do similar things that the Cubs did in their rebuild attempt here. So beyond that, that's about it for the show today, guys. Episode 148. Appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, you can find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. You can find Locked On Cubs. You can also check out Megaphone. That'll give you all the links that you need if you're trying to find your podcast or find us on a different podcast streaming site. Use Megaphone. It'll at least have the links to the other sites as well as you can listen to it on there. So beyond that, thanks for tuning in, guys. It's always awesome to be doing this. I'm really excited to kind of see what we're going to do and get creative as the season goes on. I'm going to try and keep this as close to daily as possible. At least three times a week is my plan right now. So I'll be recording, of course, today, tomorrow, and you'll have a podcast for Friday as well. So I'm going to try and kick out the content here as we go. Any suggestions you have will be awesome. It's going to be tough, but I'm, like I said, excited to be talking about some Cubs with you guys. So appreciate it. Check out tomorrow's episode. And as always, go Cubs.